Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of whatever you're drinking. I've got some coffee with a little bit of my wife's creamer in it, and it feels good on my throat. Well, I cannot say that it's actually morning. It is almost 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it is beautiful. Today is the 31st of January. It has been over a month since I have done my last podcast, and what a month it has been. And I would say that it's because it's been a crazy month that I haven't made the podcast, and it has been crazy, but you know what? You can always make time, and I just fell off the wagon. But it has been a very full month. We had a nice, quiet Christmas day, and we had a nice time on New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day was, again, a nice, quiet day. Just, we saw some family, of course, you know, over the different days, but it has been, you know, it was starting off real, real nice, and then all of a sudden, we had some cold hit, didn't we? We had temperatures that were very, very cold, around 4 and 5 below zero. And that happened actually after we got back from a vacation. We took a vacation the second week, I think it was, of January. So if it's January and you live in the Midwest, what direction do you go for a vacation? You go south. You go southeast, you go southwest, you go to the Caribbean, you go to Hawaii, you do anything except go to Niagara Falls, New York, which is where we went. I have two very dear friends that live in Toronto, and they have passports and we do not, so we drove up to Niagara Falls, which is pretty well just across the border from Toronto, and we got an Airbnb house at an extremely good rate because no one goes to Niagara Falls in the wintertime. And it rained and it snowed and it was yucky. And if you remember when those storm systems were going through, yeah, that's when we were there. So we only really got out to do some shopping one day, and then we took off with the friends who came and stayed with us for a couple of days there in this house. We did go out to the falls. It was raining. It was miserable, and you really couldn't see the Horseshoe Falls. It was just covered in mist and fogginess. The American Falls we could see, but that was it. But it was a fun trip, and we got back just in time for that ice storm that hit. And so that led us into really picking up to keep the animals warm and protected. Our son, Aaron, who lives in Kentucky, he took a week off, and he comes up every year. Gives us a week where he watches the farm so we can go off and get away from the farm somewhere. But it's been a busy time, and this year has been busy also because we now heat the house and heat our hot water in the house with an outdoor wood furnace. So I have been cutting and splitting and cutting and splitting and feeding it, and it's been fun. And my son, when he was up here, he had a bad head cold, and I wound up getting it too. And I still had this lingering phlegm cough, so I'll be glad when that's gone. But otherwise, it's just been a very full month. One of the things that the wife and I did, and if you go to my page on Facebook, or if you go to the Morning Coffee with Larry page on Facebook, today I posted about a Bible program that we're doing right now, where it's a year-long program where you read the Bible in chronological order in 1 year. And it's with a specific Bible app that gives you a lot of different translations, and it even reads it to you. But then what's really neat is the app has different programs, plans, I guess is what they call it, plans that you can subscribe to for free. Some of them may have another upcharge if you want more personalized service or something, but basically it's free. And this particular one is called the Bible Recap with, what's her name? I'm blanking out. Anyway, it's on there. And if you've always wanted to read the Bible all the way through, but never got around to it, I mean, I know the Bible, but I've never done this kind of dedication. And having an app that tells you what you should read, and then it reads it for you, and then you go to a little video where this Tara Lee Cooper, I think. Anyway, she does her own little synopsis, and she's been doing this for a while. I think this is at least 10 years where she has read the Bible through each year. And so she's got some really neat insight to help you as you do it. So if that's something that you've been interested in, I would say go ahead, find the link, and check it out. Check it out, because we really enjoy it. And that's actually... if something has kind of gotten in the way, and I'm not using an excuse, but has gotten in the way of what was normally my time for doing the morning podcast, I would say that's it, because when we wake up, we do that together, my wife and I, and that's a really neat time for us. And then we discuss it afterwards. So it's about a half hour each morning. So I need to either get up earlier or find a different time for doing some podcasts. But anyway, what I wanted to share with you today, as I sit out here on the homestead and I look at the winter grasses and the winter fields that are laying fallow and facing the direction where the sun is directly in my face, but it kind of feels good, but I have to squint. It lets me, being up here, I spend a lot of time thinking back to what it was like when my dad grew up on this farm, or when my grandpa first bought this farm from his great uncle, or, you know, and when he had it, and what it was like for the early settlers here, the early pioneers. Before there were any towns, there were people settling. And how did they make it? And how far did they have to travel to get different things? Or who did they barter and trade with? Well, I came across a really neat article. It popped up as a suggested thing on my Facebook feed. And I posted this the other day. And just a few people saw it. So I thought I would read this to you, because you know what? It gets you kind of thinking. And I like when things get you kind of thinking. So this story, what I wrote on this is, this story will give you an idea of what life was like in the early days in Madison County, Illinois, east of St. Louis, on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River. Now, I had family that settled in Madison County just after the Civil War. They were Germans that came across, and part of the family got split up, and part of the family wound up within just less than 10 miles from where I'm sitting, and another part wound up in Madison County. And it was like a generation or two later before they found each other again. But this is titled Talks with the Old Settlers by Samuel Parker Gillam Esquire. And the source is the Alton Telegraph from January 28th, 1875. So that's when this article was written, where they were talking with old settlers. Now, around here, you kind of think, well, if somebody lived in the 1870s, they were an old settler. Well, they considered themselves, at the time, modern man. And so here, they are interviewing this individual. So let me read what he says. I was born in Madison County, December 26th, 1809, in the American Bottom, in the bounds of Edwards Precinct. I purchased and settled on a farm 1/2 mile distant from where I was born. I moved onto my farm in February 1834 and have resided on it ever since. I have lived on and worked a farm all my life. In my earliest recollection, the immediate neighborhood I lived in was near a little stockade fort built on Section 1, Township 4, Range 9, 3rd Principal Meridian, and then it's in parentheses, Choctaw Township. Mr. Lemuel Southart now lives on the site of the old fort. The names of parties who then lived in or near the fort were as follows. The old man, John Gillum, and 5 sons, 3 brothers Browns, 3 Davidsons, 3 Kirkpatricks, also Dunnigan, Sanders, Ferguson, Dodd, Revis, Beeman, Windsor, Kelver, Green, Smith, and perhaps others not recollected. The male population did not work as they do now. They raised a corn crop sufficient for home consumption, also a little wheat, cotton, flax, and tobacco, and sometimes an indigo patch and a madder bed and garden vegetables for family use, and then spent the balance of their time in hunting deer, turkeys, and bees. The women worked much more than now, or at least they worked very differently from what they do now. Besides doing their housework, as they do now, they did carding, spinning, weaving, cutting, and making all the wearing apparel for the family. I will here relegate the singular phenomenon that took place in the latter part of 1811 and fore part of 1812, a succession of earthquakes, and that's, you know, you hear about the New Madrid earthquakes, that's what he's talking about. A succession of earthquakes visited our country of great severity and alarmed the people to the greatest extent possible. And very many persons that had never thought of being religious before joined the church and began to pray, thinking that the end of all things was at hand. Some became true religious. Many others, after the danger seemed to be over, gave up their religion. As to provisions, they were supplied at home. Meat, cornbread, and very coarse flour, butter, milk, honey, and vegetables were supplied from the woods and the farm. Coffee and sugar were but little used, and salt was obtained from St. Louis. At one time, a man landed a boat and left a few barrels of salt with Isaac Gillum to sell to the farmers. I went with my father to get some of the salt. He bought 2 barrels, one for himself and one for his brother, for which he paid $18. This was the first time I ever saw the Mississippi River. The indispensable articles for labor were with the men, the axe, hoe, bar shear, and sometimes the shovel, plow, and the inevitable rifle gun. These were all manufactured by smiths in the country. How and where they obtained their stock, I do not certainly know, but I suppose from St. Louis. George and William Moore, brothers to Abel Moore of Wood River Massacre fame, manufactured rifled guns. They lived in the fork of the Wood River. Philip Creamer manufactured locks and gun stocks. He was an expert workman, and other smiths manufactured plows, hoes, axes, mattocks, and other articles as called for. The tan trough grazed nearly every farm. The men tanned their own leather and manufactured their own shoes. What would the young ladies of the day think of wearing a pair of homemade shoes made of leather, uncured and unblackened? Or our young Americans think of wearing a pair of buckskin pants and a leather hunting shirt? My earliest recollection began in the troublesome times. In June 1811, the Indians killed a man by the name of Price and shot and wounded another man. His name not recollected. At or near Hunter Spring, now in the city of Alton. The excitement occasioned by this tragedy caused the building of our little fort the same season. We lived in constant alarm from that time till the close of the War of 12, so-called, that was the War of 1812, but they called it the War of 12, and the Treaty of Peace with all the Northwest tribes of Indians, which took place in the fall of 1815. In July of 1814, the Indians murdered Mrs. Regan and six children in the forks of the Wood River, known as the Wood River Massacre, which produced another dreadful alarm. The Rangers pursued the offenders and overtook and killed one of their number. The rest made their escape. These two massacres were all that were committed in the bounds of our county in the time of the War of 12. But there were two men killed by the Indians at what is called Nick's Ford on Cahokia Creek on July 24, 1802. These three are all that ever occurred in the bounds of the county. Out east on Shoal Creek and at other points, there were more trouble than with us. In that part of the country, they murdered an old man, Cox, and his son and captured his daughter. The Indians were pursued and overtaken. The young lady was riding on horseback, and when the Indians spied the pursuers, one of them made a dash at the young lady with his tomahawk and wounded her severely on the head. But she at the same moment observed pursuers and leaped from her horse and ran with superhuman agility and escaped with her life. The Indians made an attack on some scouts near another fort, somewhere out east of us. One morning, as they started out for a tramp, the Indians were lying in ambush and fired on the party as they were riding leisurely along and killed several of them, I believe. They also wounded one Tom Higgins, and he either fell off his horse or got off to fight them. They surrounded him and got a hold of him, but he clubbed his gun after discharging it and fought them with the desperation of despair. The unequal contest was carried on for some time in full sight of the fort, and no man had the courage to go to his assistance. At length, a Mrs. Pursley declared that Tom was too good a fellow to be massacred thus, and she mounted a horse and ran to his assistance and brought him in and saved his life. The people in early times did a great deal of their work by public gatherings. When a man wanted a lot of rails made, he would set a day and notify all his neighbors. They were sure to be on hand at the appointed time. The task, self-imposed, of each man was 100 rails. They generally worked together, and it was always a race who should halloo, "Done first." I was in such a race once, and I and my brother made 100 rails in a little over 2 hours and got beat at that. The ladies were not a whiff behind the men in their social gatherings. The quilting, the carding, and even spinning gatherings were common, and the ladies would think nothing of mounting their horses, taking their wheels in their laps, and traveling 5 or 6 miles to attend them. But the greatest of all social gatherings was the wedding reception. When a wedding was to come off after the day was set, everybody in reach was invited. The bride's guests would assemble at her house, and the groom's guests would assemble at his house. At an appointed time, the bride party would mount their horses and start to meet the groom, and in many neighborhoods, they would prepare a bottle of liquor and sweetened and spiced the liquor to taste and decorate the bottle with many colored ribbons. When they met the groom, a general halt was ordered and preparations made to run a horse race for the bottle. The parties were always divided. The groom's party ran for the groom, the bride's party ran for her.
The bottle was then taken by the judges to the far end of the course, while the crowd remained at the starting point. When the race was over, the winner would return holding up his trophy and shaking it in triumph. After the wedding and dinner were over, it became the duty of the groomsmen to give a general invitation for all the bride's party to attend the young couple's home next day and take dinner with them. On this occasion, as on the first day, the race would be reenacted, and in many neighborhoods, fiddling and dancing were indulged to a great extent. These old-time customs have long since passed away, and we hardly know how to form a comparison of the former times with present usages. If a young couple gets married now, they are entirely out of style unless they start immediately after the ceremony is ended and dinner over to California, New York, or Niagara, or some other selected spot to spend a month's time and any amount of money on a wedding tour, and the wardrobes of the young pair must be exquisite and costly. In early times, I have known young men to be married in buckskin pantaloons and almost without a dollar in the world and get immensely rich. Now a young man must have almost a fortune before he dares to think of getting married. That is a neat account. That is a neat account. I have heard some of those tales from around here. One of them I found funny. I heard this at the Sturtzen's 125th anniversary celebration, and they did a pageant, and somebody was married, and that night people showed up at the house and shotguns and just caused all kind of turmoil until the groom came out and handed cigars out. But in this particular account, some people got into the house and into the bedroom and sat on the bed where a couple was, reading recipes to them to spoil their wedding night. You go back way back when, and you look to today, and people are people. And people like having fun, and they learn to face whatever the adversities are that they are encountering at the time. You know, here we had adversity talked about from a series of earthquakes that lasted for several weeks, you know, due to the New Madrid fault. And with the War of 12 and the different Indian tribes taking the side of the British, and the British would pay for scalps, and the trauma that that caused in families and in little struggling communities trying to protect themselves, you know, they rose to the occasion. And, you know, with people that I have known who are, some are still here and some are gone, the different challenges that they faced, whether it was the World War I or the Great Depression or World War II or even in modern times, even in today, you know, I'm not even touching on all the stuff that's been in the news and the turmoil and the craziness and the anticipation of what could possibly be happening. Just in this first month of the year. But there's a lot of different things pointing in different directions. And you know what? We're going to rise to the occasion just like the people in the past. We may not be wearing buckskins. We may not be doing things from that time period. Maybe we need to learn some of those things. Don't know where things are going to go. We got 11 more months to this year, and I think it's going to be a very interesting year. So, but you know what? We're all going to get through this. We're going to figure it out. We may have to change our ways of doing things, but we're going to figure it out. Anyway, that's it for today. I feel more coughing coming on, so I'm going to spare you of that and refresh my hot coffee and watch the sun go down a little bit more before I
need to head over and start doing evening chores. So you guys take care, enjoy the podcast, have a great day, and we'll catch you next time for a hot cup of coffee. Bye.